Good morning. It's the 16th of March. Today we're continuing with the exhortation from Brother Harry Tennant based on Luke chapter 7. We finished yesterday by thinking of words from Isaiah, Peter and Paul, whom we described as God's beloved ones. I read, "Because of their self-effacement, great things were done by him through them, for, and let there be no mistake about this, God did not desire and did not receive a mere abject grovelling heap of misery at his feet when each of these saints made confession to him. There was a reason for the confession, and in that lay the true nobility of character of his servants. It was the desire for righteousness which brought them to confession. If we examine carefully the words of the sinner in Christ's parable, the object of confession will be at once apparent. God be merciful to me, a sinner. It is the cry for mercy, for healing, for salvation, which brings the love of God into the heart of the individual." When Jesus used the word merciful in the parable, he used the word which is essentially connected with propitiation and reconciliation. The sinner desired to be in harmony with God. He yearned for the righteous garments of God, that he might appear in God's family. Jesus gives the assurance, "I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other," as we read in Luke chapter 18. The Saviour's choice of the word justified is especially apt. It means accounted righteous. The sinner, upon confession of his utter reliance upon God, went home clothed in righteousness. That is our position in Christ Jesus. And it is to remember the greatness of the work of Jesus to this end that we assemble to break bread and drink wine every week. However lonely our life in the truth, let us never forget that God has given to us his own clothing, Jesus, the righteousness of God. Were there ever garments like these? Let us come before him and bow the knee, not unto us who are but dust, but unto thee is glory due, as we sing in the words of hymn 56. Yes, that is the spirit. If we can hold that, we have the secret of true confession and its true motive power. The psalmist, with delightful simplicity of language, writes, "There is forgiveness with thee, that thou mayest be feared." Psalm 130, verse 4. Forgiveness is not an end in itself. It is the means to an end. The fear of him who has redeemed us by the precious blood of his only begotten Son. Anyone living in that attitude of mind is never self-reliant, but always leaning upon him. You will remember the figure in the Song of Solomon, where we read, chapter 8 of that book, "Who is this that cometh up from the wilderness, leaning upon her beloved?" Let us then be unrestrained in our confession to him. Open the floodgates and seek relief. How foolish we are! It surely applies to every one of us at times, in containing our sins within us and refusing to seek relief in him. Why is it? Do we think that our sins are so utterly vile that there cannot possibly be forgiveness in our case? The writer to the Hebrews is confident that Christ is able to save to the uttermost, Hebrews 7, verse 25. And that means us. David once tried to live without confession, and later wrote in Psalm 32, "When I kept silence, my bones waxed old through my roaring all the day long. For day and night thy hand was heavy upon me. My moisture is turned into the drought of summer." If that is our condition at this moment, let us forsake our foolishness and come unto him.